where do you start on this Tuesday, March 26, 2024 edition of the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters with 224 days to go till the presidential election? Where do you start? Well, the big story has to be the bridge collapse. And I got to say, I always have trouble sleeping during a full moon. I'm up late last night scrolling through Twitter. It's probably like 3 or 4 a.m. when the bridge fell. And so I see it breaking. And then I'm just looking at all the different angles and all the replies. And then I think Fox and Friends starts at 5 a.m. Central. And so I turn on Fox and Friends. They have a they syndicate the audio of the show on SiriusXM. So I'm just scrolling through Twitter, reading about this bridge. And then Fox and Friends Friends is doing their coverage when Fox goes live at 6 a.m. Eastern. And it's actually really embarrassing. And I'm not trying to attack the host of Fox and Friends. They're doing the best they can. And I know how it is when it's breaking news and a big story like this. It's you're just kind of wading through unmapped waters. And so you're just up there flapping your gums with whatever you can, whatever information you can get it. And it's really just, it was really just kind of worthless dribble. So it's not that I'm attacking them. It's just I'm sitting there and I'm listening to that and I'm like, okay, well, this is, they're not really saying anything, are they? Well, and then I tune into the Alex Jones show and he opens the phone lines to the audience. And as I'm laying up all night, all morning, just looking at this bridge story, best hour of coverage was Alex Jones taking calls from this audience. And I just sit there and it hits me again. Cause I'm just up all morning, just scrolling through all the stories. I go to the gym this morning. I get back home, turn on the Alex Jones show. And it's just like, wow, best coverage yet. Not even close. And it's our audience. And we tap into that resource. And it just reminds me how important InfoWars is and how, and I've said it before, if you're tuned into this show, you are in the top 1% of the most informed people in the country. More so than even your senators, your judges, top lawyers, mainstream media hosts, reporters, you're more informed. You're in the 1%. Our audience is the 1%. It was just incredible. I'm like, I might as well just play this when it comes to the bridge coverage. But we got so much more. So I may do the same thing and open up the line for people to talk about this because I'm no expert. But I think after just looking at this for the last 12 hours, we can do a pretty good analysis. So we're gonna do a deep dive. I'm going to look at everything. And, you know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. A ship breaks down. It has failures. It hits a major support beam. Bridge collapses. It could be as simple as that. There could also be other circumstances here, obviously, and we're going to look at all the different angles. But let's say it is just technical malfunction, just an accident, let's say, and stuff happens. How crazy is it? It's Francis Scott Key Bridge, one of the most important bridges probably in the country, named after the writer of the Star Spangled Banner and a ship astray full of foreigners takes it down. That's epic. Not in a good way. But we are living in an epic universe and consciousness. And God's story is just better than any Hollywood movie script you've ever seen. Truly an epic time to be alive. We got an epic show for you today. We still have some moving parts. I know we're going to have a debate on the Israel issue with Adam King, or I don't even know if it's going to be necessarily a debate. I'm just going to interview him on his stance, as I've brought on other guests that you might say have kind of an anti-Israel stance. So we'll bring on somebody that has a pro-Israel or a pro-Jewish stance as well. We'll get all the different perspectives. That's going to be in the third hour. So I don't know how much of it a debate, or it'll just be more of an interview style, and we'll just get his take on things. I may push back on some things, but that's coming up in the third hour. And there's other interesting news we're going to tie into that too. So it's not just going to be, you know, getting somebody's take on the back and forth. We're going to tie in some important events dealing with that as well. But some moving parts. We've reached out to Matt Bracken. We'll see if he can join us. He's a hard man to get on the air, so he may be joining us. We've reached out. We are also reaching out to Natalie Denise, who is a kind of a groundbreaker when it comes to reporting on human trafficking, sex trafficking, and so we're trying to get her to join on some of this latest Diddy revelations, but those are moving parts. So if I do open the phones, we may even end up closing them because we get these other guests on. But the callers were so good on the Alex Jones show dealing with this bridge collapse. Because look, I'm not a structural engineer. I don't know much about shipping ports and how these massive cargo ships work. But you in the audience, you have that incredible knowledge. And it was really shown today on the Alex Jones show, getting all the different perspectives and learning so much. Truly the resource that is this audience, that is the InfoWars 10 hours of live transmissions every day, unmatched in media. It's unmatched in media. It's not even close. It's the most important. It's the most important news organization in America, maybe in the world, and that's why they want to shut it down. So I'm going to get more into this, dealing with the bridge. We've also got big news out of Russia. You got your standard stack over here: illegal immigrants, murdering, raping, pillaging. Biden giving them green cards, just passing them out. Disease spreading all over the country. Cops getting ambushed, shot. A gun-free zone, but the cop gets shot to death. So, thank a Democrat. And then we'll delve a little bit into this Diddy stuff with some of the latest news. It's very odd. It's very odd stuff. None of it adds up unless, as Kanye said, Diddy's just a Fed. And the Feds or somebody is going in there to maybe take out some evidence. Make sure nobody gets access to that evidence. Or maybe that's what was on Diddy's private jet. A lot of questions. And, of course, we've got a bunch of video clips today for you, too. So, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, one of the most important bridges in America. The harbor there in Baltimore, one of the most important harbors, and it might be indefinitely shut down. But let's just look at the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and we're joking before the show. What are they going to do? I mean, they're going to have to rebuild this. This infrastructure is too important. Who knows? Can anybody even rebuild a bridge in America? I don't know. Do we even have anybody that can rebuild a bridge like this? Do we even have the men, the construction workers, the grit to rebuild a bridge like this? Well, we may find out in time, but there's so many different angles. But the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and we're joking before the show, so when they rebuild this, is it going to be the Ketanji Brown Jackson Road over racist water? Formerly the Francis Scott Key Bridge? I mean, how can we can't have it called the Francis Scott Key Bridge. That's obviously racist. And the bridge was racist, according to Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary of Joe Biden. The bridge was racist. But here's just some of the basic details here. The Francis Scott Key Bridge, 4 lanes, 695 toll, crosses the Patapsco River, the Baltimore metropolitan area, maintained by the Maryland Transportation Authority. Steel arch-shaped continuous through truss bridge, made of steel, the good stuff probably back in the 1970s when it was built. Construction started in 1972. The bridge was opened in 1977. In fact, almost to the date. Bridge opened March 23rd, 1977. The bridge collapsed March 26, 2024. A racist bridge, according to Pete Buttigieg. Not even kidding. That's what he said. We'll have that clip coming up 185 feet above the water, 1.6 miles long, named after the writer of the Star Spangled Banner, Francis Scott Key. At the time when it was built, it was the third longest span of any continuous truss in the world. When it was completed in 1977. Carries an estimated 11.5 million vehicles annually. And of course, goes over the Baltimore Harbor. Now, just showing the B-roll here, it would appear just off of the naked eye that there were multiple power failures. The lights go on, the lights go off. And thanks to the resource that is InfoWars, this audience, and the Alex Jones Show, we had multiple experts weighing in, calling in, saying, yeah, here's how this goes. There's redundancy. There's backup generator after backup generator after backup generator. And then just digging around through other media, other coverage, other replies. There was the issue of why was there no tugboat? And then people say, yeah, that's totally normal. There should have been a tugboat. But then other people say, well, it used to be regular for tugboats, but now all of a sudden they're not doing tugboats. Nobody really knows why. Maybe it's the Biden economy. Maybe they don't have the workers. But now a tug is not as common. But it looks like, yeah, multiple power failures. Multiple power failures. Couldn't get the thing back up and running. So you could say, well, does that indicate some form of attack? It's hard to control these things, obviously, the heavy cargo, the just sheer size of it. But it's hard to think. I mean, that would have to be quite a shot in the dark to say, well, we're going to hack a cargo ship, which, by the way, this is one of the older cargo ships. It doesn't have as much of the technology on there. It's an old-fashioned one, if you will, an old-school one, if you will. So people are saying that's a less likely shot that it was some sort of attack or cyber attack. But even to consider that, I mean, you're talking about a shot in the dark that you can hack this thing and then rail it into the bridge and then collapse the bridge. Other people are saying, well, why did it take this odd route out of the harbor? Why did it take a wide turn out of the harbor? Did they know there was something wrong? What is that about? So all questions that sometimes lead people to believe the worst. But you know what? Mistakes happen. Things happen. Now, luckily, it appears right now there were no cars on the bridge. Now it was like 3-something in the morning, it was about 2 in the morning. So bridge wasn't being highly trafficked at that time. It looks like there might have been no cars lost. Now they're still trying to find reports. It's obviously dark, and then the water is dark. You don't even know. There were bridge workers fixing a pothole. And last I saw, 6 were missing. So it looks like that could be the death toll at this time. But you think about it, that's a very wide harbor there, probably about a mile long, the bridge a mile and a half. So if you're not a proficient swimmer and you're in that cold water, not to mention the long drop, who knows what you might be dealing with debris or the bridge. So at this point, the 6 missing are presumed dead. Now, what does this mean for the larger picture of the importance of the bay. Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse blocks $80 billion in cargo from moving through port, a major disaster. The collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge is a major disaster that threatens to disrupt this $80 billion in cargo that travels to and from one of America's busiest ports. The Port of Baltimore stands as the nation's leading import and export site for cars, light trucks, sugar, and gypsum, with a record 52.3 million tons of foreign cargo transported in 2023. No timeline for when the port will reopen. So now consider all the things. And if you live in that area and that's a regular bridge you take, boy, your commute just got a lot more complicated and painful. But that's the least of the concerns at this point. So here's what you have now. Who even knows when they can start the cleanup? Because right now potentially a crime site, but there's obviously they're going to maintain the site to try to figure out what went wrong. So who knows when they can even start the cleanup process? So the cleanup process could still be weeks away. Then how long is the cleanup process going to take? Then after the cleanup process, you have to evaluate what's left of the infrastructure, and then you have to decide what you can keep and what you have to get rid of. That could take weeks or months. Okay, then you have the actual process of reassuring some of the infrastructure, clearing out some of the infrastructure. That could take months. Then you have to dam it up so that you can build the new infrastructure. That could take months, if not years. Then you have to build the bridge, which could take years. The original construction took 5 years. So it could be years before this bridge is rebuilt. It could be months before the harbor is even reopened. And of course, that's why people are looking at this and saying, well, this is such important infrastructure. This is such an important harbor. Seems that there could be foul play afoot. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. But obviously questions remain, and skepticism is always going to be likely in these crazy times. Now, one reason why people are skeptical, and by the way, I would ignore some of the conspiracy theories that there were bombs and dynamite. That's all BS. None of that happened. So I would immediately cast those conspiracy theories aside. They have been completely disproven. Usually I wouldn't even bring them up, but I see them proliferating, and a couple people sent them to me saying, look at this, it's dynamite. They blew it up. No, that's not what happened at all. Now, what people are pointing out, perhaps some of the reason for the skepticism, remember, you had the movie Leave the World Behind, produced by the Obamas, all about a big cyber attack. And spoiler alert, if you don't want any spoilers, just, you know, turn off the show. 3, 2, 1, you've been given time. The first major event of the cyber attack is a ship, a massive cargo ship that gets hacked and then runs up onto the beach. The name of that ship was the White Lion. On this ship is the flag of Sri Lanka, where the ship was headed, which features a lion. Are we reaching? Maybe we're reaching. Nonetheless, this is what people see these days. They say it can't be a coincidence. Now, there's some debate. Some people say it's concluded, but there's some debate. Was the captain Ukrainian? The official report is concluded that it was 22 Indians that were on board the ship. But there's some other debates out there. that the captain may have been Ukrainian. But again, I'm leaning towards this was a mechanical failure, some other failure, and it just happened, and it just is a disaster. Now, you might disagree. I know some others disagree, and they're very skeptical. And I think the reasoning is fair. No, the Titanic was probably sabotaged, but we're not getting into that. The crew showing Titanic videos, that's a whole nother story. So I would say, not that I've necessarily reached a conclusion, but I would say for me, looking at this, the odds are mechanical failure, a bunch of things that probably were removed from the picture that could have been there to maintain some safety protocols like the tugboat situation, and who knows what's going on as far as the crew. But this is probably just a natural disaster, if you will. Obviously not from nature, but just an occurring disaster. It just happens. Could it have been avoided? Yes. Do I suspect foul play? At this time, not really. But others out there certainly do. And I can understand the reasoning. So I want to open up the phone lines on this. And if we have any experts that want to weigh in, if you're in engineering, structural engineering, if you work in harbors or in cargo ships or anything like that, or maybe you're just a buff into this stuff, you just like researching this stuff, I want to open up the phone lines. Now, I'm going to put the number out a couple times here, so first-time callers that might not normally call but might have some expertise in this situation can weigh in. Or maybe you disagree. Maybe you do think there's foul play here. Maybe you disagree with where I'm leaning. And so the number is 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. And I'd like to take people that maybe have some expertise in this first. 877-789-2539. And we may give out that number another time or two. But I'd like to get some expertise, some experts to weigh in on this if anybody's tuned in, because I'm telling you, that hour of the Alex Jones Show with the callers was really fantastic after the Mike Flynn interview. Now, General Flynn's conclusion was he thinks there is something going on here. He called it a black swan event. So, I mean, there's plenty of reason to believe that this could have been some form of intentional sabotage. But from everything I've seen, I'm not leaning towards foul play right now. I'm leaning towards things like this happen. Now, what's interesting here is, does this tie into the issue we have with our infrastructure collapsing? I know this literally our infrastructure collapsing. But that is a real issue. We've had multiple bridge collapses, and we can sit here and point the finger. Oh, it happens at Joe Biden, and that's fun. Let's throw bombs right to left toward the Democrats now that they're in control. But these things can happen no matter who's the president. We are failing as a country. We are failing as a civilization to assure our infrastructure, to build new infrastructure. That is happening. And when you have Pete Booty Juice, who blames these problems on racism, well, that's not helping anybody. Here's the transportation secretary, Pete Booty Juice, blaming bridge collapses on racism. I'm not even kidding you. Here it is.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly Black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or it would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
Can you imagine such a goofball running the transportation department? You don't have to. He is. Yeah, Pete. Some engineers were tasked with building a bridge And they got together and they said, how can we make sure this bridge doesn't let any Puerto Ricans go under it? We need to make sure this bridge doesn't let any buses carrying Latinos under it. Yeah. Because that's, you know, those are logistics. Don't you know that a bus carrying 28 Hispanics is taller than a bus carrying 28 Caucasians? I'm Pete Buttjuice. Don't you know that a bus carrying blacks is taller than a bus that carries whites? So these engineers got together and they built bridges too short so that the black buses and the Hispanic buses couldn't go under them. Pete Buttjuice. Yep, that's what happened, Pete. This isn't new. Bridges are falling apart. Infrastructure is falling apart. But you have to rebuild infrastructure. Nobody's to blame for that. It's not racism. Infrastructure decays, falls apart. Have you seen some of the subway tracks? Have you seen some of these subway stations in New York or Chicago? Have you seen some of the infrastructure around there? It needs rebuilt. But no. Because don't forget, you need to give hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine. Okay? And you don't need to protect your southern border. You need to protect the border of Israel. And you need to build infrastructure in Kazakhstan, all these other countries, all over the world, while your infrastructure falls apart. And the transportation secretary says your infrastructure is racist, so it should fall apart. We don't have to have failing infrastructure. Who knows if that's really the story here or not. But see, there's all different angles that tell this story. Like, who was manning the ship? Was that a problem? Was there an issue with the infrastructure that it should have held up even though this massive cargo ship hit it? Maybe not. But then how long is it going to take to rebuild? We spend hundreds of millions of dollars in Ukraine. Most of that money just gets stolen. The weapons end up in the hands of quote-unquote ISIS that then probably get used for a terror attack in Moscow. Think about what we could do with that money. You know, I know it's like this in every city, but if you're in the main belt of Texas, north and south, then you know about the I-35. Constant construction. They've been doing construction just south of Austin, going into Kyle and Buda and these other areas. And it just sits there forever. Just cones sitting there. It's down to two lanes and they mash up a road. And you drive by it. You'll drive by it 100 times. You'll see people working twice. Why aren't people working on that 24/7? Why don't we have American construction workers building our infrastructure 24/7? Oh, Americans don't want those jobs. Really, they don't? Americans wouldn't take a construction job paying 30, 40, 50 bucks an hour plus overtime? Of course they frickin' would. Absolutely they would. Young men would. Grown men that just want a simple job, just want to go do an honest day's work, go home. Absolutely they would. But see, we don't have the money for that. We give all of our money to Ukraine and all these foreign countries. We build their infrastructure. We protect their borders. There is no excuse. When an infrastructure project is started in the United States of America, it should never stop until it's finished. We certainly have the manpower. Absolutely 110%. Just think about all the infrastructure we've built for the illegal immigrants. Boy, they get that up fast, don't they? They can build an entire illegal immigrant shelter lickety-split. Like that. You need a massive illegal immigrant facility in Texas? Done. You need a massive illegal immigrant facility in New York? Done. Oh, you need a bridge finished? You need a highway finished? You need a pothole fixed? Maybe we'll get to that later. We'll sit cones out on the road for 5 freaking years. This is just common sense stuff. And see, these are the lies that we're forced to live with. Oh, yeah, we can't build infrastructure. We can't finish these projects. You have to have the main road, the main highway from San Antonio to Dallas, from the border, from the southern border to the northern border of Texas, the main highway 35. You drive through about a quarter of that highway, and it's just never-ending construction, nobody working, down to 2 lanes, no bridge, or no shoulder, rather. Why aren't Americans building these roads? Why aren't they finishing these projects? Why do they take 5 years, 10 years? We don't have to live like this. Bad policy. But I don't want to rant anymore. I want to go to the calls. And by the way, when you hear callers, it always happens, plug our products. That is organic. We have great products at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I can sit here and tell you all about them. I can sit here and tell you how I take DNA Force Plus every morning, every night. I can sit here and tell you how I take Bodies every time after I work out to avoid stiffness and soreness. I can tell you all about it. I'm a product of the products. But understand, this is more important. This show staying on air, the Alex Jones show staying on air, InfoWars as a news organization staying on air. Alex made a call last night. He ends up going on a debate on a Zero Hedge transmission. He makes one call to the crew. He gets a crew up here in less than an hour so that we can do that debate. That's InfoWars. That's you. That's this audience. That's why we need to stay on air, by you supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, here we go. We got some callers on this issue. This is going to be good. Let's start with Mike in the Soviet Republic of Canada. That's funny. So, Mike in the communist stronghold of Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks for having me. Owen, I have a pretty hot take about this. Talk with the call screener about it. Do you remember the Donald Cook incident almost 10 years ago to the week?
We'll have to look it up, but just go ahead.
Okay, Soviet SU-24 bomber flew over the USS Donald Cook and completely disabled all the electronics on the ship. And that back then was the Aegis system, which was very high-end, top-end military grade at the time. And with one low pass, it completely disabled the ship in the Black Sea. It had to be towed back into port. So if you think about what the Soviets had back then, what do they have now with those 3 subs sitting off the East Coast that are 2 football fields long and 5 stories high?
So, I mean, let's get down to brass tacks here. So are you insinuating that the ship was hacked and that's why they couldn't get the redundancy factor to kick in with all the backup generators?
That's correct. I believe that.
But shouldn't – I mean, again, so I would have to talk to like a – I'd have to talk like a cargo ship engineer. But, I mean, it's like I have a generator. It's gas-powered. Are these generators not gas-powered? Like, can you hack a generator like that?
They're diesel-powered, but everything's controlled by electronics. So if one system goes down, the other's automatically supposed to kick in. Like a previous caller said, those boats have 5 to 6 backup systems. And how is there no tugboats involved? Did they say that did they not let this ship know that it was coming in?
So like, I can address the tugboat issue briefly here. We got some other people called in on that. One guy that knows the tugboat captain. What I heard was that the tugboat thing used to be like 100% guaranteed. They just kind of abandoned it. And so I'm unclear as to whether that's just a lack of personnel or manpower or a lack of tugboats or they just assume, hey, you know what? We haven't had any incidents. We're probably safe to go out without one. We can address that coming up here. So here's the problem I have with that theory. And I mean, I'm not some, you know, military maneuver expert, but I mean, you can have some logic and reasoning with this stuff. So in order for that to be the case, you're saying that they had to basically measure this out and say, okay, when this ship hits this point in the water, we're going to shut down its electricity, and it's going to ram into this bridge and collapse the whole bridge. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions that go into that.
Yeah, but if you look at what happened to the Aegis system 10 years ago, look at what, imagine what the Russian military has now. And at the age of that boat,
I'm not hold on a second. I'm not doubting that the Russian or any military could do that. I'm not doubting the logistical possibility of the thing being hacked. I'm saying that it's a bit of a shot in the dark to assume that you can engage in an attack like that and knock out a bridge. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what I'm saying is all they needed to do is just disable that ship enough, maybe even take the controllers of it. But if you look at the black smoke, and then if you look at the amount of water coming up the back, it looks like they tried to put it in reverse full power, and that wasn't enough. And they said they lost propulsion and lost steering, so how do you explain that on a boat with five or six redundant generators that are supposed to kick in?
So yeah, this is the question. This is the question a lot of people are asking. Mike, thank you for the call. So we're gonna continue to take calls on this. I do have other news, but this is the big story, and nobody's covering it like InfoWars. Nobody. That's why you got to support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there's a video going around that speeds up the collision course and moment. It's at 8 times speed. And I mean, you look at this and you say, well, what are you doing? It looks like they steer right into the bridge or right into the column holding the bridge up. They're also now reporting that they not only tried to reverse it, but lost control of propulsion, and they also tried to drop the anchor, but it didn't take. I mean, you look right there, and it's like, hey, bro, you just steered the ship right into a bridge. But again, I mean, have you ever tried to maneuver just a basic, like, 13-foot boat or, like, 20-foot boat? I mean, it's still pretty difficult. So can you even imagine something like that with all the cargo? So, you know, maybe you just don't have the most skilled captain. But it keeps losing power, resetting power, and ultimately hits the column, the support column there. So the whole thing is just nuts to witness. You know, people saying, well, how does it just fall down like a feather? Well, it hits a major support beam, and it's just going to collapse under its own weight. After that, And with bridges like this, actually, a lot of the support comes from the top. You'd think, oh, it's all stabilized from the bottom. Well, actually, a lot of it actually comes from the top, so the bottom might be a little weaker. So people are seeing this saying, well, look at this. This is odd. It looks like he steers right into it. So it could just be a bad captain. Could just be they lost control, and that's just how it went. Let's go back to the calls, though. Robert in Florida knows a tugboat captain. This is a big question being asked. Where's the tugboat? Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me on, Owen. Yeah, Cody Snodgrass, Truth Not Fiction Matters on X, I believe works in this industry, and I think he'd be somebody good to reach out to kind of get some information. But I'm 49%, 51%. 51% it is an attack. 49, lack of human judgment, like Alex talked about, everything's ran by computers. My thing is what comes next? Bad things happen in threes. What's going to be the next big thing that happens?
So what are you saying? So Moscow really, attack, bridge collapse, and then something else?
Yeah, they're going to come after the United States. I mean, that's already a given. Everyone sees what's going on with the border. I talk to people down here in Florida about what's going to happen down here. I thought moving down here was going to be, you know, get away from a lot of stuff. I came from Washington State, and it's no better down here than it is anywhere else. But telling people that, you know, these people that come from these third world countries that don't carry a weapon, they carry machetes. There was an attack in Tampa at a Wawa gas station with a guy with a machete. So it's already starting down here. And it's only going to get worse. People need to remember, you know, watch your six. Always be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, to me, it's carry a gun. If you're able to do it, carry it. Protect yourself. Don't try to be a hero, but, you know, look out for yourself and your family for sure, because it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, so what about the tugboat issue here? Do you have a comment on that?
Well, back home, a friend of mine did the exact same thing, and all those big ships are brought out to a safe spot by tugboats before they're allowed to meander on through. I mean, that was probably preventable if tugboats were guiding that boat through there. So I don't know. You know, the industry's probably fallen short. Just like you got done talking about, I worked in the construction industry back in Seattle. I was making $140,000 a year. I jumped at that opportunity. People, I was raised by the last great generation. My grandfather helped raise me, put that work ethic into me. It's gone now. I work with kids down here. They don't have any drive, any initiative to want to do anything.
Yeah.
You don't make a lot of money in Florida, but you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, you've done something and you brought something home, makes you feel better about yourself. And depending on someone to just write you a check and be like, that's it, that's all I get.
Well, I just don't get it, Robert, and I thank you for the call. This idea that construction projects just sit dormant, construction sites just sit dormant for years is absurd. It is absurd. If you injected the $200 billion or whatever it is we've given to Ukraine into the infrastructure in these projects, how many Americans could you pay six figures a year to work full-time plus time and a half, bonus time, whatever they want, as much as they want? And you say, here in America, when we start a construction project, when we start an infrastructure project, we don't stop till it's done. That's how it used to be. That's how this country was built. Now they start a project, and it sits dormant for years, put out some cones, whatever. I don't know. Maybe people don't want those jobs. I would say they do. Hell, illegal immigrants would do it. They said, oh, well, we need illegal immigrants to pick the fruit, says Nancy Pelosi. Get the job done. You want to talk about injecting stimulus. And they pass a $1.2 trillion omnibus bill that has hundreds of thousands of dollars for an LGBTQ retirement home. Not even kidding you. An LGBTQ retirement home that could pay a yearly salary for three construction workers to finish infrastructure project. Probably five, actually. It was like $700,000. What do we need, a gay retirement home or construction workers to fill the void in our construction projects? Trans teen programs, abortion funding. We could be building our country. I'm not saying I'd rather live in Qatar. And people always have this. It's like, oh, Schroyer, you talk about how great Qatar is or these countries. I'm not saying I'd rather live anywhere other than the United States of America. But have you seen their infrastructure? Have you seen how nice their communities are? Have you seen Japan? They care about their infrastructure. They build stuff. They have new airports. They keep stuff clean. Why can't we? Because we get sold out by our politicians. All right, I'm done ranting. Let's go back to the lines. Todd in Oklahoma. Todd, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing? Hey, man, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. So I just wanted to say this is a logistical nightmare. I used to work as a logician in the Army, and I think it's going to take at least a couple of years before they get that entire harbor cleaned up to where ships can get back through.
So we're talking, let's say, we're talking probably a minimum 12 months, maximum 24 months before they can even reopen the harbor. But what about when they restart the construction? I mean, can they have the harbor open while they're doing construction?
I doubt it, dude. There's so much rubble there. There's so much that's down there. They're going to have to keep it clear in order to get in there and clean everything up.
And then I guess they'll have to make a logistical decision. What's more important, to rebuild the bridge or to reopen the harbor?
Exactly. That's the next thing I was going to say. Now, I don't necessarily, like, at first when I thought about this, I thought this was an attack, but I think this was just one of those things where it was, I hate to say it, it was a fluke accident. Because you saying they dropped their anchor They tried to counter steer. Those were things that I was trying to figure out. I couldn't find any information on. So I don't necessarily think this was deliberate. Now, I will say I'm worried that one of the sides is going to, the left, I'm worried they're going to try to twist this in a way to benefit them, if you understand what I'm saying.
I really don't.
So what I'm saying is, what if they, I'm worried they're going to try to take the entire incident and try to say that it's Trump's fault or it's the right's fault. And
I mean, yeah, I mean, they're so delusional. They might blame Trump, yeah, but I mean, exactly. These people are not serious.
So, I mean, outside of that, though, I don't necessarily think it was a terrorist attack. I think it was just one of those things where shit just happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm leaning. You know, a caller earlier said he's like 51% he thinks it's sabotage. I'd say I'm like 51 to 60%. I think it's just a perfect disaster, just a fluke incident. Now, others disagree. The crew just had a story up that Laura Logan says Laura Logan, great journalist, great resources and sources. You know, she says they think that this was intentional. So, I mean, it's going to be widely debated. And, of course, we can trust that our government will tell us the truth. Isn't that? Rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, our government will tell us the truth. Thank goodness we can trust our government. Now you have union officials coming out saying, oh, it was low standards that caused this. Well, they're going to have to find some excuse. Somebody's going to have to take the blame. Low industry standards, meaning the ship didn't have tight enough protocols. They should have used tugs. Again, these modern ships, it's just the tugboats aren't as much of a necessity now. Ship cited for previous propulsion deficiency before bridge collapse. It even crashed in 2016. But they're so desperate to move this cargo, they say, get it in the water. So, again, I'm like 51, 60%. This is just a fluke, horrible accident, disaster. Others disagree. We're taking calls on this. We're going to focus on this issue for still a lot of this show, a lot of other news. But nobody covers it like InfoWars. And that's thanks to the great audience we have, too, by the way. That's why I'm taking calls. Let's go to Ralph in the Pittsburgh area. Ralph wants to talk to bridge collapse. Go ahead, Ralph.
What's going on, Owen? How are you?
Good.
Good, man. Hey, so I work in the commodities market in the greater Pittsburgh area, and I just thought I'd share. We were talking about it because it affects our business. We sell fuel. We ship fuel all up and down the East Coast. It's going to hamper the business in Baltimore. It's about 4.5 hours from here. And so there's pilots in that harbor that are required by law and, I guess, regulation to get on the boats and to help them get to their destination within the harbor. So the word we're getting out of there is the pilot got on the ship, was helping them get to the destination that they were going to, the docking point. And sounds like, well, you guys have covered most of the rest of it. It sounds like the generators must have failed. They threw the anchor. I guess when you're going at that speed, there's no way to really stop it. But, you know, knowing some of the guys who work in that, you know, in that field, these guys are working basically every waking second, man. These guys are all tired. They're ready to go home. But it sounds like it wasn't even the crew's fault. It sounds like it was a pilot error is what it sounds like, and some malfunction with the hardware. I'm a conspiracy guy myself. I usually think there's a conspiracy, but in this case, I don't think so.
All right. Anything else?
No, man. 1776, everyone listening, buy the product. I love the Turbo Force. I'm on it right now. I love it. X2, Male Vitality, Super Male Vitality. Take them all every day, man. So rock on, brother. 1776, let's go.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you for the call. Thank you for your support. Let's go to Michael in New Mexico. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about an angle that I have not heard of yet, and is how this is going to affect the trucking industry. Because I'm sure that that port gives jobs to many, many truck drivers. Many companies rely on the port to give their truck drivers like jobs. So it's one thing to get the port up and going, but also with all the families that will be relying on the jobs, many people are really hurt today.
And yeah, this is going to have massive, massive an economic impact on Baltimore. It's going to have a massive impact on just the shipping industry in general, and it's going to have to be shifted somewhere else. And I mean, also, I mean, who knows how many shipping, you know, cargoes are still waiting in the bay that are now going to have to be picked up and transported in some other way. Michael, I'm up against a break here. If you have more comments, hold on the line. We're going to continue to take calls as we enter the second hour of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Tapping into the InfoWars audience today, truly one of the great resources in news media, truly, unlike anything else. So, you know, the White House has remained relatively silent, if not even a peep from the White House on the attack in Moscow. And maybe there's a reason for that. There's some news out of Russia we're going to get to. But, you know, Biden did have something to say about the bridge collapse today. He was addressing the public, and he said this in clip 7.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
By train or by car? By train or by car? The problem is there are no train tracks. There are no train tracks on the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Joe Biden can't even be honest for one second in his life. Can't even be honest for one second in his life. Claims he took the train over the bridge that didn't have a train track. Joe Biden rode Sonic the Hedgehog over the Francis Scott Key Bridge with Pete Booty Juice bringing up the rear. All right, so here's the news out of Russia. Moscow terror attack. ISIS takes responsibility, but Putin looks at Ukraine. Well, yeah, they captured the gunman fleeing to Ukraine, and the earmarks of an ISIS terror attack is they basically just they go out with the attack. They don't try to survive and escape. It's you know, the jihad. They go out, they die. So not really believing it, but what is really ISIS other than a proxy group of the CIA at this point, which has been had a fresh breath of life ever since the money and weapons started flowing into Ukraine. So see, it wasn't even that Trump defeated ISIS necessarily with any military strategy. He just cut all the money and arms from going to them. That's what Ukraine is. Ukraine is a vessel state for the military-industrial complex to launder money and weapons to all these proxy groups in different regions of the world, specifically the Middle East. So yeah, when Trump was president, a lot of that activity went quiet just because they didn't have the money, they didn't have the weapons. And as soon as Biden got in, bing, money, weapons start flowing, and oh, ISIS takes responsibility, but Russia's not blaming it, or Russia's not accepting it, believing it. Russia blames Kiev and the West over the Moscow attack. Zelensky hits back after Russia links Ukraine to Moscow attack. How dare you blame us? Russia persists in blaming Ukraine for concert attack despite its denial and Islamic State's claim. Well, anybody can go onto a media app and claim it was them for some war propaganda. But again, believe Putin or not, Putin doesn't believe it's ISIS. And even if he did, he would still blame the West and say, you guys fund ISIS, you guys arm ISIS anyway, so F you. So this is a dangerous situation we're in. If the Russians and Putin truly believe this is the act of the CIA, the act of Victoria Nuland, the act of the Pentagon and the West and Kiev regime and Zelensky, the puppet, what does that mean moving forward? It's not good. Now, would they hack a ship and run it into a bridge and shut down infrastructure? Would they bomb a key pipeline, blow it up? This is why it's not good. By the way, in the Navy Yard in D.C. right now, you've got an active shooter. It's fun living in a Democrat-run city. You never know when you might have an active shooter. It's gun-free. Navy Yard residents sheltering in place for police investigation. Shooting suspects run into Navy Yard apartment complex. It's a gun-free zone. It's a gun-free zone in Democrat-run D.C., and so it's a gun-free zone, and so you might witness a mass shooting. You might witness a manhunt for a gunman because it's a gun-free zone. See how that works? It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. All right, I want to let the caller who is on, we cut him short with the break, Michael in New Mexico. So what do you think this does to the shipping industry? Michael, finish your thought.
Hey, thank you. I used to drive into the Port of Houston sometimes, and it was just crowded all day long, where when you would talk to truck drivers, they would basically say you have to really watch out just because there's so many truck drivers just driving pretty crazy. So since they will have to divert that traffic to one of the other ports, just what's if they even can get all those loads there, what's it going to do to the traffic? I just think it's going to be terrible. And is it fine if I just make a very quick point on the border crisis and how it ties in with this?
Go ahead.
I think that it's almost just as scary if this is not terrorism and it's just some sort of incompetence, because how do we fix that then? And the left has just been so big on virtue signaling, and I think we need to learn to do what they do. And frankly, with the border invasion, the left is actually quite racist, because they're basically like claiming that foreign enemies, whether government or terrorists, are just utterly incompetent. When I was young, elementary school, I learned how to play capture the flag football, and you would learn to spot the opening and move on it. And so the left is basically saying that just because it's a foreigner, that they're not confident enough to see that. And that even though we're in multiple wars, no enemy is going to take advantage of that. And frankly,
well, look, we can talk about the Democrat Party, like Joe Biden claiming he rode a train across the bridge that didn't have a train track, or Pete Buttigieg claiming that bridges are racist. And so, I mean, that's just going to the Democrats that are running the country and just showing people how incompetent they are. By the way, here's the last time this ship was in a crash. So it has a history of crashing. But kind of, you know, to bring up the American left is really, it's why I haven't even mentioned it or said anything about it, because these are not serious people. And so we're dealing with a serious issue here. And so it's time for the big boys to talk. It's time for the adults in the room to talk. And so that's why I'm not bringing up the American left, because they're not serious people. So they need not be included in this conversation or in this thought process. And so that's why I'm not really bringing them up. I mean, I play a clip from Joe Biden. I play a clip from Pete Buttigieg. They're the Democrats that are running the country into the ground. But you say, oh, the American people bring up the American left. The American left this, the American left that. They're doing that. They're not serious people, and this is adult time. And so we're not even going to bring them into this conversation. I do. Obviously, this is going to have a major impact on the shipping industry, though. All right, let's go. Let's go to Philip in Pennsylvania. Philip, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Actually, I was going to make one point, but listening to the other callers, I actually have a couple more points to make. This whole bridge thing, I'm leaning more to about 55 to 60% that it was an intentional thing. There's just too many coincidences for it to just be driver error. But rebuilding the structure, and that brings up the construction issue. The reason why construction isn't going on overnight is because there's been way too many Karens complaining about the noise, and construction workers are only allowed to work during certain hours of the day. And then, of course, there's so many construction workers that are hit by people that don't know how to drive. So they try to minimize the construction work during, you know, rush hour traffic and stuff like that. But to rebuild that bridge, just from experience of living down in Pensacola for the last 3 years, it took them almost 4 years to rebuild the bridge that was hit by a barge after Hurricane Sally. So we're looking at some years here, not a couple of years, but probably more like 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. And once they do get the harbor cleaned out, I'm fairly certain they'll make a traffic route for the cargo ships while they are constructing the new bridge. But yeah, that's probably at least 6 months to a year down the road before they do get cargo moving through there again.
Well, and I mean, that's assuming they rebuild the bridge. My guess is the bridge construction was more important than the shipping cargo in and out of the harbor in 1977 or in the 70s when they built it. Now everything comes in from overseas, and so the harbor is going to be more important, I'm guessing, logistically than building a bridge. But they'll have to make logistical decisions on that. I appreciate your commentary dealing with the construction sites. I think that's fair. By the way, just as a anecdote on that, you know, they did the same thing with church bells. And, you know, the frequency of those bells is known to ward off demons. And so they started getting rid of all the church bells, and now all of a sudden you have all these demons everywhere. But it was the same thing. It's like one person would complain in 10 years about a church bell, and they'd say, okay, shut it down, remove it. But perhaps I'm getting off track. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chaz in North Carolina. Chaz, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Hope you're having a good one. You know, I've heard it all today. CIA, Russia, China, hack attack, this and that. But I think some people are thinking too outside the box. I sit here and I see a Singapore flagship crewed by 22 men from India, and all I think is BRICS nations. BRICS is a newly formed competitor, you know, on the world stage. It's Brazil, Russia, India, China, Saudi Arabia, and other countries. And how easy would it be for a Singapore ship to have 22 Indian men, India being a BRICS nation, to have an accident on purpose? How easy would it be for an old school ship like that to have what looks like an organic accident? All you do is flip a couple switches, turn the rudders. Out of 22 men, how many of them are fully responsible for the power and the navigation? Do you need all 22 men to be in on it, or do you?
Well, don't you think though, when they do the investigation, that they would find that out?
Well, there's no telling. You know, all you need to do is have a couple conversations in person, and there's no, you know, how are you going to know about a conversation if it's not recorded digitally?
So you're like saying internal sabotage potentially from the crew?
Yeah. I mean, think about how Hamas got around the most sophisticated intelligence agency in the world. They were giving messages on paper and by word of mouth. So how hard would it be for...
So what's the benefit of the BRICS nations? You sabotage shipping in America to somehow help a BRICS nation? I mean, what's the conclusion there?
Business, yeah, shipping. You know, it opens up opportunities for BRICS nations to, you know, how many billions of dollars of resources come in and out of that port? You know, that's billions of dollars opened up to the market now. It's anybody's
game. Well, I don't understand.
Game.
The demand doesn't shift. I mean, it's not like you can pick Baltimore up and move it to India. But I understand what you're getting at. They're estimating repairing the bridge could cost as much as $600 million, but we don't have that money because that's Ukraine's money, that's Central America's money, that's Israel's money. So, you know, I don't even know if we'll be able to get a bridge. $600 million, I don't think we can afford that. We're too busy giving our money to other countries. We're broke now. Let's go to Ray in Kentucky. Ray, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. How you doing, Owen?
Good.
All right, man. Well, let me just give you all a little bit of a different perspective on this stuff, as I usually do. The whole thing with this happening in Russia, before the shipping debacle, okay? So I saw the first numbers, the body count, were like 40. They said 40 dead at the Crocus Hall. So I said, wait a second, the Catholics are nearing the end of Lent. That's 40 days. And you know how these Satanists, they want to play their little Twilight language and crap and do all this underhanded stuff. And it seems, you know, with that nice show Alex did yesterday, finally exposing the truth of the freaking, you know, the Zionist scourge that is doing much of the evil in the world. It's clear to me that, you know, the crocus is the spring flower. That's the first thing to pop up. They kill 40 people. That's the 40 days of Lent. So you can look at this from another angle. It looks like an attack on Christianity, but with human sacrifices straight up. You know, call it what you want, but we are where we stand, you know. I just want to tell your viewers to just stay vigilant and don't believe any NWO figureheads, any of them. They don't have anybody's interest in heart. And they're liquidating our country right now. That's why they're giving all the checks away, giving all the money away. It's clear and apparent, man.
Yeah, it's like a giant bank heist before they know it's about to go under. Ray, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jason in Ohio. Jason, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
Good.
So the bridge, to me, like, especially after watching that sped up video you put on, if you're just looking without all the, you know, the talking points, propulsion failure, all this stuff, it looks to me like the smoke was them like flooring it and turning it, and it drove, that looked like a professional drove that thing right into that post.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like imagine if you're like drifting in a vehicle, like, I mean, the boat drifts and then hits it square on.
Yeah,
I mean, look, they're still for error on the pilot and the crew here, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you watch that at sped up, it's like you just turned right into the column. How did you mess up that badly?
Yeah, when no one could say anything because of the last minute that you could. That looked like a professional move right into it. And then no one, oh, they're all foreigners. And then we just had Russian thing last week. And then that's a military port for equipment going to Europe. I mean, there's just a lot of coincidences with this one. But to me, it's just, especially that sped up video, it's just like boom, right in, last second. Crazy.
Yeah, looking at it at that speed certainly gives a different perspective. And I mean, there's no denying it. It looks like they turn right into it.
Yeah. Boom. Done. The only spot to totally trash it. And then I'm a contractor and just looking at the scale of that cleanup, I mean, that steel is massive, and that's out in the middle of a 50-foot deep river, and just that cargo container, look at all those cargo things on there. Like, the scale of this cleanup is just, it's next level. Major, major deal.
Yeah, this is going to be a years-long project, no doubt about it. And so, who knows how long this harbor is shut down? Who knows if the bridge infrastructure, I mean, can we even really assume they're going to rebuild it at this point? I mean, it's crazy to think that that's where we're at, but I mean, I think that's where we're at.
Wild, wild times, brother.
But they'll rebuild it and then say, that bridge was racist, named after Francis Scott Key, that racist. And then they'll name it, you know, the Ketanji Brown Jackson Kamala Harris Roadway.
Let's name it after that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's go to Eric calling in from Norway. Eric, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say, do you remember a couple of years ago, there was an incident with a frigate? A frigate is slightly smaller than a destroyer that collided with a ship like that.
Are you saying freight? Are you meaning to say freight?
No, frigate. It's slightly smaller than a destroyer.
So a warship. Okay, you're talking about a warship.
Yes, yes. A warship collided with a big freighter, like the one that collided with a bridge. You know, a couple of years ago, a Norwegian warship frigate collided with a freighter.
And actually, this was a story that had been happening many times. You've had Navy ships collide. You've had other ships collide, like, in the middle of wide open waters, and people were wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, does this have any connection, you know? Because I'm a Norwegian. I don't know what happened. This is my Navy. I don't know what happened. Because this was 20% of my Navy, and I don't know what happened. But this frigate, it collided with a big ship, and, you know, it's completely gone. It sunk afterwards. I don't know. I'm just trying to say, for all the people researching out there, is there a connection? Because I don't see any other thing than maybe this frigate was hacked. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I
just like your...
This was a story earlier in last year, the beginning of last year. I don't recall that story. But there have been other incidents, and I thank you for the call all the way from Norway, Eric. That's awesome. Appreciate having you. There have been other incidents with the U.S. Navy where ships have collided, and we're talking about in the middle of wide open waters. And there were debates, well, were they hacked? Is it incompetence? What's going on here? So what I'm hearing from you is it's a similar incident with the ship in Norway, and you just don't get any answers. And most of it just gets swept under the rug anyway. All right. We still got some callers on this issue. I do have some other news, so I may jump from this topic. But if there's any new developing news on this situation, we will certainly bring it to you here live on the InfoWars War Room. All right, we were able to get a hold of Natalie Denise. I'm glad. She is a leading expert really dealing with the underbelly of the human trafficking that goes on in Hollywood and the entertainment industry. And so with all this news breaking with Diddy and all the confusion, I wanted to bring her on. Here's some of the latest headlines. Sean Diddy Combs, alleged drug mule, arrested as feds intercept rap mogul's private jet in Miami. I've got some questions about that. Usher saw very curious things taking place at Diddy's New York mansion when he was just 14, when they had him in there. Were they grooming him? I think Usher may have been into it, it seems like. Diddy's sons returned to L.A. mansion to grab belongings after being cuffed during federal raid, so they let him back in there, and then I'm guessing now it's a crime scene, but... Natalie Denise joins me for all of this and more. Natalie, before we get into some of the recent developments, what do we know about Diddy's activities in the last 48 hours? Because there seemed to be a bit of confusion. What private jet was he on? What private jet was he not on? What private jet flew to Antigua with who knows what in it? What was he doing at a Miami airport? Was the raid about Diddy at all? Why would the feds let him go if they could have had him at the airport? What were they looking for? A lot there, Natalie. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so I think that we're still kind of up in the air about where his whereabouts at this very moment. But it is confusing, I will say, because first he was seen allegedly by TMZ pacing back and forth at Miami Airport. But it also says on the flight tracker that he flew out of California. So we're not quite sure whether or not he went from Miami to California to then fly, or if he was caught pacing around at Miami Airport and then just to throw off either the feds or anybody that might be looking for him, and then maybe sending something within his private jet down south to, at first it was Cape Verde, and now it's Antigua. So I believe he's landed at Antigua. So his whereabouts are actually a mystery right now. But I think what's most curious is TMZ's reporting on it. Of course, TMZ is always going to have the upper hand on the, you know, first dibs reports on celebrities. But the fact that they were on the ground, they get these inside tips to be there while he's being raided, and then also to set off this footage of him pacing back and forth at Miami Airport is questionable to me, especially because right now at this very moment, it's a mystery where he actually is.
Well, and here's why this is such a human interest story. I mean, I'm not sitting here like, oh my gosh, I need to know what's going on with Diddy and Usher. Like, I really don't care what they're doing to each other in the back door or what they're doing to their producers, you know, to get a record contract. But what seems to be going on after the unredacted documents from the lawsuit is like, what is this like Epstein light deal going on with the rap industry or the hip hop industry? And I guess Diddy like the Maxwell of it, the Epstein of it, or is he innocent in all of this? Because that's why this is so curious when we're talking about human trafficking of potentially minors.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And actually, this morning it was reported, actually, I saw last night that there was an amendment to the lawsuit about the end of day. And this morning it was reported that Prince Harry was actually implicated in the lawsuit. Now, I just want to clarify and preface that Prince Harry is not necessarily accused of any wrongdoing at this very moment, but it is alleged that, you know, P. Diddy's parties were so big and elaborate that they did attract big people such as politicians, big name celebrities, athletes, and foreign dignitaries such as the British royal Prince Harry. So Prince Harry is now implicated. There was an article that did cite back at the The Sun, and it basically quoted Diddy saying that he wanted to catch up with Harry and that he wanted Harry to take him to some Mayfair club or wild Mayfair clubs. Now, retrospectively looking back, that might seem a bit, well, edgy, right? We don't know what this quite means or what they did, but it does seem to be that, you know, it does have some parallels between Epstein and, you know, all of the old royals, right? We had Ghislaine Maxwell, Kevin Spacey sitting on the throne at Buckingham Palace, and we had Epstein, you know, conversing with Prince Andrew and befriending Prince Andrew very closely. And now it seems to be that this is a sort of newer generation of what seems to be, and I'm just saying this is my personal opinion, it seems to be a newer honeypot, if you will, with celebrities, because P. Diddy did attract these very famous people and foreign dignitaries and politicians. And then in the lawsuit, it does absolutely cite that he had cameras, secret cameras installed in rooms, and he did film to blackmail. So that's what we know so far.
Yeah, and that's, of course, what Epstein was doing. And so when I just look at this, because I'm somebody that wants to solve all the political problems, but if we have a bunch of blackmailed politicians, well, I guess that's the problem, right? And so if we have all these individuals with influence that are under control, I mean, let's talk about a hypothetical that could be very real here. Diddy has these massive parties. All these famous people, actors, actresses, musicians, royals, they all show up. You know, who knows what happens? Maybe they get, you know, they make a mistake, but it happens on video, and now they're controlled. And so then what happens? Oh, now they all shoot a video telling America how important it is to support Ukraine. And so you see this stuff, you say, why do these celebrities tell me I got to support Ukraine? It's not organic. You know, that's where I go with this.
Right. It definitely seems that Sean P. Diddy Combs is the face of an operation, but not necessarily the operation. It does seem to be that he has some strings that are being pulled above him. We just don't know what those are. Actually, it's curious because actually moments ago sold his shares from Revolt TV. He has no longer any affiliation with Revolt TV. And he sold it to an anonymous buyer. Who is that buyer? We don't know. And why don't we know that, right? So there are definitely some mysterious implications as far as strings that might be pulling or people that might be entities that might be pulling the strings on Puff Daddy. And, you know, all of these people that he did attract to his parties and to his entourage. So we can definitely say that for sure, because there are some contextual clues that there are some that might be in communication with him, sure, at least right now, and also that might have controlled this entire from the top down.
How do you make sense? We're up against the clock here, so we can finish this on their side, but how do you make sense of the developments when we saw the raid? Because he gets three homes raided. It's a guns-drawn raid, so what's up with that? Are they expecting a threat? Is it all for show? But then it's like somebody tipped Diddy off. How did he know not to be there or be ready to hop on a plane if he was ever even on a plane? Did somebody put maybe things they didn't want the feds to discover on a plane to get that out of the area? Maybe they dumped something over the ocean. I mean, how do you make sense of all that weirdness that doesn't seem to add up?
Yeah, it definitely does not seem to add up. Now, it does seem that P. Diddy might have been taken by an element of surprise. Either that or he is a really, really, really malevolent father, because he did leave behind two sons that actually got arrested within that raid, right?
Well, I mean, now, he has to have probable cause that he wasn't tipped off. He's like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't even tell my sons.
Right, right. So it could be that as well, right? But, I'm even taking clues from TMZ with them even getting tipped off and being on the scene right when it was being raided, right? So, yeah, it does seem to be that he has some sort of inside tip or inside, you know, alertness that would have maybe notified him ahead of time.
All right, that's Natalie Denise. And, folks, it just stinks of another Epstein light operation. This is how they control these icons and figures. All right, we're talking Diddy raid with Natalie Denise. I got a couple other issues here I want to get her opinion on. Is this going to be similar to what we saw with the Epstein raid, where all the evidence just disappears, just magically? It's just gone. Was the raid really about disappearing evidence? At least that'll be the final result, or something else going on. And I guess maybe the other side of that coin is now people are saying, oh, more names are going to come out. More names are going to go down. Well, has Diddy even really gone down? So I guess I'll get Natalie's opinion on that two-sided coin. So what do you think the story here is? Is it that the cover-up is on and whatever evidence was taken during this raid is never going to see the light of day? Or is there really something going on and other names and other people are going to be exposed for whatever the hell is going on in this community, whatever sordid activities?
It could be both worlds, right? Okay, we were very disappointed with the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, which, you know, didn't really reveal much. Yes, it did give some detail, but it didn't really give us everything that we imagined would be exposed. Now, in this particular case, we're talking about the hip hop world. We're talking about some people that are regular people that might have seen things. And then there are people that might have signed NDAs, right? In this whole setting. Now, I will say that moments ago, I saw that Ethiopia Habertema, I believe her name is Ethiopia we'll just say Ethiopia H, right? She was the former CEO to Motown Records. She actually went through a lawyer to attest that she would testify against Sean P. Diddy Combs in trade-off that maybe she would get off on charges or that she wouldn't have bad consequences or implications. So at least there is one person that was actually named in the lawsuit that was thrown together by Rodney Jones, aka Lil Rod. So she actually was a defendant and she is wanting to testify now. So there's at least one person now that could potentially give off a lot more detail. Now, as far as the Department of Homeland Security raid, yes, I do have my reservations about whether or not we will get the full truth, just simply because we've seen the way this department works and it has been working in recent years. So I do have my skepticism about this particular department and us getting transparency.
Well, okay, but let's talk Department of Homeland Security versus FBI. When I think it's the DHS and not the FBI, I'm thinking, well, okay, are they looking at an international issue or are they looking at something else in the realm of like, I mean, I don't even know, because normally you think this is an FBI situation, but instead it's DHS.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yes, given you are correct about that. And it is implicated that he at least went cross state with alleged sex trafficking victims. That's at least what we can say right now. So, yeah, you are correct about that. Also, what it could also be the scapegoat in this particular situation is the drugs that are implicated in the lawsuit, which Brandon Paul, who is an alleged drug mule, he's 25 years old. Moments ago, he was arrested at the Miami airport. So could it be that that is also why the Department of Homeland Security could be on scene and even, you know, implicating themselves with this investigation? Maybe. But, you know, again, I just have my reservations and I have my skepticism because in the lawsuit, it does name that there were politicians and foreign dignitaries. So, you know, there was a raid on Epstein Island. There was a raid here on, you know, at Sean P. Diddy Combs' bi-coastal homes. Who knows what they're going to keep from the public and what they're going to share with us.
Why do you think Kanye called Diddy a Fed?
Yeah, because again, what was named and described in the lawsuit was essentially an operation. He had hidden cameras in these rooms. He filmed people and he kept these videos of people partying and potentially having sexual relations with sex workers. And there were definitely minors at these parties. So, you know, it does seem to be that he did this for a reason. It could be that he filmed these politicians and these foreign dignitaries. It does seem to be that there was a sort of honeypot, essentially. Now, he could possibly be a mole within the hip hop industry. And that's what the, I guess, online gossip seems to also implicate. And, you know, you have different people testifying about this and giving testimony, like former bodyguards, for instance, that do give some stories that before all of this even was exposed, former employees of P. Diddy that have said the very things that were implicated in the lawsuit. So it could be that this was indeed an operation. Politicians were implicated in the lawsuit.
Well, that would explain why P. Diddy or Diddy, P. Diddler, that would explain why he hasn't been arrested. You know, I mean, how else can you explain that? Or maybe he gets a call and says, hey, look, I can give you a drug bust right now. Just leave me alone for another 48 hours. So that's how this stuff goes down. I mean, if I'm getting real conspiratorial, oh, he invites Prince Harry over. Prince Harry's on camera doing something he doesn't want out to the public. And now the royal family says, well, this is going to get out and we've got this footage or you're going to leave the royal family. And then they play out all the drama. So now I'm getting conspiratorial, but I'm just trying to connect the dots in all of this. Natalie, Denise, before I let you go, I notice I can't help these things. I'm very observant. It looks like you have a very large dumbbell behind you. Have you been? That is, I don't even know if Diddy could lift that.
Yeah, I mean, that's about, what, 30 pounds altogether. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, some full body workouts here in my studio. Wow. Why not?
I feel like that was placed there intentionally. You want people to know you want people to know you've been lifting.
Well, yeah, potentially, but, you know, it was kind of hidden. I didn't know it would be on camera, but yeah, it's
there. I don't know. I thought you might try to Chris Cuomo us.
No, not necessarily. I didn't try to put that there, obviously, but it's there. You guys saw it.
All right. All right. Natalie, Denise, where can people follow your work?
Well, you guys can follow me pretty much everywhere, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter/X. And if you just type in Natly and then Denise, you'll find me. It's a pretty unique name. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yep. A pleasure as always. All right. And now she's going to hit the weights. Now, you should probably hit the weights, too. And maybe you need a little energy, give you a little boost to hit those weights. Turbo Force Plus, if you're looking for 10 hours of clean energy, one scoop of Turbo Force Plus, 40% off InfoWarsStore.com. If you're just looking for some sustained energy just every day, the nascent Tri-Iodine, Survival Shield X3, you'll feel the difference. And then maybe you need a little relief afterwards. Maybe you haven't exercised in a while. You got the soreness. You got the stiffness. Need a little relief for the next day. BodEased, 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. If you're just looking for some of that male vitality, you've got Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com. So many great products to help you get at the peak of your game and up and exercising and feeling good about your health. That's what the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com are all about. And look, even though winter is coming to a close, or I suppose it's spring now, maybe you're finally getting some of the good vitamin D from the sun. Folks, do not discount the importance of vitamin D. So we still have Winter Sun Plus in stock and on sale, 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. The Ultravitamin D3 liquid tincture under the sun. Do not forget the importance of supplementing vitamin D. So important. 25% off while supplies last at InfoWarsStore.com. Also, the gummy for your kids. I mean, look, you know, adults can have gummies too, so it's not just for the kids. But great for the kids. You want to make sure that your kids are getting their vitamin D. Just put two of those gummies out on the counter every morning. They'll think you're the coolest parent ever. You let them eat gummies for breakfast, and little do they know, little do they know, you're actually making sure they're getting a healthy dose of vitamin D3 every day for their immune system and so much more. And of course, it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes everything here possible. And it shows like today across the board from Harrison Smith in the Morning, the incredible Alex Jones Show today, this show. It's so important to keep us on the air, and it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes it all possible. All right, we're about to enter the third hour. We're going to be joined by Adam King from the Adam King Show. And he's been arguing the pro-Israel side of the issue, or just the perspective from a Jewish side of things. So we're going to be getting that. You know, people may be expecting a debate. I don't really plan on doing a debate style, more of an interview style, but who knows how it goes. So we'll talk about that. I still got other big news, too. We'll try to get to it all. All right, Joe Biden. Well, Joe Biden has a Joe Biden problem. The Democrats have a Joe Biden problem. And this happened at a Biden, quote-unquote, rally earlier today.
Allowed them to deny coverage. Everybody deserves health care.
Joe seems very confused. Now, look, I'll be honest. There's a part of me that Joe Biden is a crook and a creep, but there's a part of you that kind of feels bad watching this. This old man, dementia ridden and all these problems, this total crook being paraded around. He doesn't even know what's going on. He probably has to wear diapers. He has to wear these special shoes. And he's just completely just lost out there, just abandoned. But this is the problem. What have I been saying? They cannot do public events for Joe Biden, folks. By the way, these aren't Trump supporters protesting him. These are leftists. These are Democrats protesting Joe. So they got a problem on their hands. This is why it's like, oh, Joe Biden randomly pops up for some event and there was no public statement, no press release, because it's all controlled. They invite 100 people out of a union or some other group, and they don't let any people in from the public. They all get vetted because Biden can't have an event without a protest. And if they did a real rally and said, oh, Joe Biden's going to be here, a big rally, then it would be flooded with Trump supporters, flooded with Biden protesters, and they cannot have those optics. And it's not going well in New York City, especially if you're a woman. You might want to have your head on a swivel. These videos are surfacing all over the internet. What is going on to women in New York City?
But, like, I just realized I was part of a group of women that got punched. What?
I literally just got punched by some man on the sidewalk.
So I just got punched in the face walking home. I was literally like, you guys, I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh.
What is going on? What is going on? Seriously, what is that? And how did you, if you, the streets of New York are busy. If you see a woman get punched in the head, are there no men around to deal with this situation? They just let him go? What does that say about our society? My goodness. Tulsi Gabbard was on with Tucker Carlson. She's talking DOD-funded biolabs in Ukraine.
If you happen to challenge them, whether it be on COVID or it be on things like it, and this was, I think this was the thing that caused Mitt Romney to call me a treasonous liar, was saying, hey, there are U.S.-funded, DOD-funded biolabs in Ukraine that should be secured because there's a war going on over there, and the last thing we or the world needs is anything going on in those biolabs being unleashed in a way that could pose a threat to people. That was seen as...
But I should just say you weren't guessing.
No.
You got that. It was confirmed in any case in a public exchange in the Senate between Marco Rubio of Florida, the sitting yes. Republican senator, and Victoria Nuland, the Undersecretary of State, who volunteered it on camera.
Yes.
So,
and it was on the DOD website talking about their long history
right.
of funding these biolabs, not only in Ukraine, but in many other countries.
Of course, because they,
around
it's
the world.
Outside U.S. law. Right, so they can, and it's bioweapons research, obviously. But you were just, I don't even think you said that. You just said basically what the Undersecretary of State said right. in the Senate.
But then if you say it, they say that's Russian propaganda. Because Victoria Nuland is, you know, she's such a good, upstanding member of foreign policy and the U.S. government. All right, Adam King, The Adam King Show. Coming up next, third and final hour of the InfoWars War Room. Don't miss it. All right, joining me now is Adam King. And Adam sent me a friendly message the other day, and I thought he had a good point, so I invited him on the show. I've interviewed guests that you might say are critical of Israel or even anti-Israel, so why not get a pro-Israel? I don't know if that's fair to say about Adam. He's been critical of Netanyahu, but perhaps pro-Jewish. I think that might be fair to say, but we'll hear from him in a second, but there's one thing that I want to lead into this with. Now, last night, and I believe Adam was even involved in a Spaces, it was either last night or Monday night, that featured Nick Fuentes and Jeremy Boring of The Daily Wire. And then there was a follow-up with Lauren Chen. And so I know, Adam, I think you were involved in one or both of those. And so here's how I kind of want to lead into this. I have met Adam. I've liked him as a person. I've never had any problems with him. Why? Because we didn't need to talk politics or religion. We just went out like normal people and had a good time eating barbecue and just hanging out like normal people do. And so what's my message here? We need more camaraderie, or we need to be able to break bread with one another. We don't need to be afraid to have conversations. We don't need to be afraid to have disagreements, even if things heat up or get a little hot. That doesn't mean we have to run from these things. So Shapiro talking to Boring on a Twitter Spaces was very important. and then other spaces that are happening with differing opinions. It's very important that we hear from the other side. And Adam, I know you've been a part of some other debates too. I think it's healthy to do that. And even if you disagree, it brings you closer in the end. But Adam joins me now. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but perhaps that's maybe a good way to lead into this. I mean, why have you decided to kind of take this mantle as a pro-Jewish voice or a pro-Israel voice, if you believe that's fair to say?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on the show, Owen. And, you know, there's a saying in Pirkei Avot, which is the sayings of our forefathers, that if there's no man present, you have to stand up and be a man. And so that's what I've done with the Adam King Show. And every single issue that I hit is me standing up, being a man, doing what's right, fighting the good fight. And in this situation with Israel, it's a very complex issue. To comment on the spaces yesterday with Fuentes and myself and Lauren Chen and Jeremy Boring and others, you're absolutely right. Like, I kind of feel that was one of the psyops of 2020 was like, we're not going to have debates anymore. We're not going to talk to each other anymore. We're not going to air out our disagreements. And yesterday was like such a healthy conversation with people who are diametrically opposed to each other, all getting along. Even after the debate, Fuentes and I had a few DMs that were just really positive and constructive. And that's hopeful to me, you know, because it's really about America first. So all these things that happen beyond our borders, you know, the dark side is intending for it to divide us who are here, who want to fight the southern border, who want to fight the Biden crime family, the World Economic Forum, and the globalist agenda. And they divide us on these like really triggering issues like Israel-Palestine. So it's also this thing where they promote voices, intentional voices, that are going to start wars and conflicts like Shmuley Boteach. He's getting so much push from the establishment, and he's destroying the image of Jews, making Jews look horrible. And so it's important that someone like me stands up, or else you're going to have an echo chamber of Shmuley Boteach and Michael Barclays.
Well, I want to lean into that, and I would also respond to what you said, that I'm somebody that likes a physical challenge, an intellectual challenge, a philosophical challenge. And so for people that run from that, it's really just cowardice, I would say. And it's somebody that lacks in their own fortitude. And so that's why I respect you. And I've even spoken positively of you, because I believe that you believe what you believe in. And I believe you're an honest person, unlike many other people. But let's lean into the Rabbi Shmuley story. And I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and break some big news for people right here, right now. I've decided I'm going to break this news. I was given the option to break it or not. I'm going to do it right now. Rabbi Shmuley is going to be on the Alex Jones Show tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central. He has agreed to a debate with Alex Jones. Now, I have to tell you, I got wind of this last night, and then Shmuley posted one of the most obscene things that's ever been posted on X. And that's saying a lot for Shmuley, but that seems to be this guy's goal. So I'm glad that you lean into that, because when I see this, I agree with you. I look at this guy and I'm thinking, there couldn't be a bigger enemy of the Jewish people right now than Rabbi Shmuley. There couldn't be somebody making Jewish people look worse than Rabbi Shmuley. And I would, somebody that's a cynic and ask questions, I mean, it's so bad, you almost have to believe it's intentional. You almost have to believe that Shmuley is doing this to make Jewish people look bad. And then, I guess, come out and cry anti-Semitism. How do you see this?
Well, if I could be honest, he appears to be like really not mentally cognizant or self-aware. And I don't know if he's on drugs or he resembles somebody that's on drugs. But it's scary, you know, because tensions are so high around Jewish people. And he almost has a universal condemnation from all of Jewry. From the Jews on the left to the Jews on the right, and he thinks he's going in, starting fights with people, uncontrollable fights. Like yesterday on the debate, Jeremy Boring was one of the most eloquent and thoughtful speakers on the Israel-Palestinian conflict. And Shmuley took to the internet, not even knowing about the Lauren Chan spaces that took place, and just smashed Jeremy Boring, calling him an anti-Semite. And I saw like this show on InfoWars the other day. I forget who it was, but they were saying that if everybody's called an anti-Semite, then the word loses its meaning. And there's real Jew hatred out there, and people who just literally hate Jews for no reason at all. And when you got a shmooly going around doing what he's doing, it's counterintuitive. It doesn't do the Jewish people any good. And actually, I hope tomorrow Alex cleans his clock. I've known about this debate, and you know, I really hope Alex could put him in his place. I'm nervous because I know what he's going to do. He's going to get out there and try to drive a wedge between Jews and Alex Jones. He's going to call Alex Jones an anti-Semite. He's going to call Alex Jones the Sandy Hook and whatever he could play into. And he's a propagandist SHIT-ster, you know, like he just wants to stir the pot and cause drama, and it's nuts, dude, because I don't really think that it's like, maybe it's not even coming from him. Maybe he's been hired to do this by some extraneous third party. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like he goes into a situation losing every single battle, looking like a total idiot. I mean, he's a dildo-selling rabbi, for crying out loud. I mean...
Well, a dildo is one of the products that he sells with his daughter, by the way.
I know.
And I don't want to take too much of this, you know, because we have an hour here,
and
I want to ask you...
Don't get me wrong, Owen. Like, his message that he promotes it with his kosher sex book, what he says to people is... he wants, like, on paper, an amazing thing. There's many people are in unhappy marriages, and intimacy could lead to a reunification of love and a happier family. And if that's through sexuality, albeit, and it's I think it's okay for a rabbi to say that, but then to go be the peddler of sex toys after he says that, a rabbi shouldn't be doing that. That's so disrespectful to the Torah and the tradition of the Jews.
Well, and I don't want to spend too much more time on this, but it's just like you said. I mean, does he have no? It's either he's a plant to do this intentionally for whatever reason, or he really has no ability to see himself in the mirror. And I mean, I guess if I was him, I wouldn't want to look in the mirror either. But when he goes and does a video like grabbing kids and grinding on kids, and it's right. Just like, dude, what are you doing? But let's move into that. Let's get to more serious issues, because that's why I have you on here today.
You know, I could actually break something to you. I want to say one more thing about that with Shmuley. Back in the day, a long time ago, I actually interviewed to be the executive director of his organization. It was like this job fair, whatever. They asked me if I wanted to interview. And so the interview was conducted on Zoom. And Shmuley comes out of like these doors, like they slide open, like these double Dutch doors, wearing like this silk Komodo robe, walking into the interview like he's an emperor. And he sits down in the chair, and my mind was blown. I told him, Shmuley, I'm not taking your job. I'm not interested anymore. But the fact that he would like interview for his executive director in a, like a full-blown silk robe told me everything I ever needed to know about Shmuley. The guy's a clown.
Well, he's certainly removing any doubt of that. All right, I want to get into some more serious takes here on some of the real issues. So I'm just going to hit you with some questions here. Do you believe Israel is committing a genocide in the Gaza Strip?
No, I do not. And I'd like to explain why. So the death toll is at 30,000 people. It's a very high number. And I condone the killing of any innocent life, especially women and children. It pains my heart. I know there's innocent deaths. I'm not negating that. There's innocent deaths on both sides. This is a conflict that has been raging out of control for 75 years. But the actual numbers speak no lies. 30,000 deaths, 21,000 of them are registered Hamas militants who are in a database in the Israeli system. When they find the body, they identify it against a database of known Hamas members. So the real death toll of innocent civilians is 9,000 people in the Gaza Strip, because the rest of them are enemy combatants. Now, the West, both on the right and the left, seem to be getting all of their news from liberal media outlets. All the numbers of deaths are being reported directly from Hamas. And the reason why I don't think this is a genocide, because, and maybe your crew, you have the best crew in the entire game. Maybe your crew can find a picture. If you look down at Gaza, like an aerial view of Gaza, you will see absolute devastation and rumble. Every single house and building that was used to store weapons or as a military outpost for Hamas was taken to the ground. And if you look, literally like half the buildings in Gaza are destroyed. Gaza had 2.35 million citizens. And you're telling me that only 9,000 people, and I wish there was zero. The half the houses in Gaza have been destroyed and only 9,000 people are killed. If Israel is genociding the Palestinians, they are the worst genociders that ever existed. They could destroy everything but leave the humans. That's not a genocide. There might be claim for a land grab. There might be claim for an excessive response. But a genocide is not what this is. This is not a systematic killing of innocent people.
Well, let's talk about the land grab, because I theorize, and you can get into that and then maybe follow up with your thoughts on Netanyahu, who I know you've been critical of. My theory is, and this is just a raw political take, Netanyahu wants his legacy to be the taking over of the Gaza Strip and a building of a new Tel Aviv there on the beach. And so I think that that's kind of Netanyahu's vision here. So, aside from any religious aspect of it, I feel that that's Netanyahu's political ambition. So, but do you believe it's a land grab? I do. And do you think that's what Netanyahu is up to politically speaking, or do you think it's more of a religious right?
Well, I don't really think Netanyahu is more concerned with his legacy that he leaves with the Jewish people as the legacy that he leaves. Very proud of himself for his implementation of the vaccine, and he's been able to wiggle his way and seize control of Israel during this critical time in the nation's history. I want to let you know, I actually used to live in the Gaza Strip. I was forcefully removed from my home. I had a beach house in a village called Shirat Hayam on the ocean in the Gaza Strip. I would wake up to gunshots from the Palestinians all the time, where they would just shoot into our village as they drove through the streets. I was forcefully removed from my house by the Israeli military, and my home was given to these Palestinian terrorists in a peace deal that never brought about peace. This was the disengagement in 2005. So I'm very critical over the Gaza Strip, because it wasn't just exclusively Arab for a very long time. There was a large Jewish population. In fact, 8% of all of Israel's agricultural exports came from the Jewish communities in the Gaza Strip. And they were feeding Europe with all sorts of agriculture. And all that was destroyed and given to these people that who turned our homes and our businesses and our villages into missile launching sites. So many years lives ago, I actually was one of the directors of an organization called American Committee for Shaarei Tzedek, which administers Israel medical foreign aid, but also it is the emergency room of Jerusalem, the hospital Shaarei Tzedek. And in my role, I was director of campaigning. I witnessed so many people come through the emergency room, so much unwanted death and violence and destruction directed at Jewish people. And the left and the right in America seems to casually ignore that. Like, Jewish blood is so cheap that it's only what Israel does to Palestinians that gets reported.
Well, let me push back on that here. And again, people are saying, oh, well, you know, it's not a debate. Well, I'm giving him a fair interview here. I'm not trying to debate him. I think the reason for that is what we've seen is that Americans are looking at their past, present, and future, and they're realizing that they've been robbed and they've been put, let's say, in second place. And so what they see is this large Israeli influence, the Israel lobby. What they see is this large influence over American culture and politics from Jewish people. and they say, well, what the heck is going on here? My future is being stolen. Maybe they inadequately or accurately blame Jewish people. But I think that that's what it is. They don't see Palestinians influencing their country. They don't see Palestinians influencing their foreign policy and controlling their Congress. So I think that that's why you have that kind of base sentiment.
But on the left, the Palestinians do control Congress. You have members of Congress that are openly anti-American and want to destroy America that are funded.
Well, but
by
to say they control Congress is not really fair. I mean, they have a voice.
Talibs, the Ilhan Omars. So I see where you're coming from, and I want to express this sentiment. We're really aligned. I'm an American foreign. I think other nations, if anything, should be paying us to protect
Hey, hold on.
Them.
I want to be fair to you here. You got cut off there. Hold on, Adam. I think we're having a little bit of a delay. I want to be fair to you here because you got cut off there. You were about to make a statement about, I think you were going to say, you said you're an American citizen and you got cut off. So I want to make sure you can say that. So start over.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say we're very aligned. I'm an America first isolationist. I don't believe in foreign aid. And I don't want to be sending foreign aid to Ukraine, to Pakistan, to Israel, to Egypt, any of these places. To me, if a nation cannot stand on its own, it shouldn't stand. And that's how I view things. America doesn't need to forcefully prop up nations. And Israel doesn't need America's money either. And so you're not going to find me arguing for American tax dollars to go to any foreign country. The billions that are spent overseas should be used to repair bridges now, feed the sick, heal the sick and feed the homeless. Our country's in shambles, and we're so concerned about where to divvy up money elsewhere. And Americans rightfully so get pissed off when that happens because they see dollars going out and they see tragedy at home. So I don't blame any Americans for wanting to take foreign aid away from all the countries that we give foreign aid to. We shouldn't be paying anybody for friendship. So I that's how I feel about that. But it's important to understand something, Owen. This conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis originated in World War II. And Haji Amini al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Palestine at the time, of Jerusalem, he's actually the one who is attributed the idea of killing the Jews in the Holocaust. Adolf Hitler had a plan that he was going to deport the Jews. And Haji Amini al-Husseini visited him, and he was actually given his own chapter of the SS, the Waffen-SS, and a death camp. He killed 88,000 Jews. When the Jews returned in 1948, straight out of the death camps, his nephew, Qadar al-Husseini, who launched an organization called the Army of the Holy War to kill and eradicate any Jew who was coming to the land of Israel, escaping the shackles of the Holocaust. And so, you know, it goes even as far to the modern day. The Husseini family is still very involved in Palestinian affairs. Rafiq al-Husseini is the chief of staff of Mahmoud Abbas, of Fatah, the democratically elected prime minister in his 20th year of his first term. So, you know, you cannot look at the situation without understanding the vast multitude of complexities. It's also important to understand that the King of Jordan lives as a propped up dictator. Palestinian, and he was given his kingship because he was chased out of Saudi Arabia by the Saud family. They were the traditional rulers of the Arabian Peninsula. And in order to maintain control of the British, they used the King of Jordan, Hussein's grandfather, as a prop up in Jordan to rule over unruly Palestinians that didn't want the Balfour Declaration or anything like that. So, it's important to understand the context. The Palestinian issue is not just Gaza. Palestinian liberation should be in Jordan also. There's no reason that one man should rule over an entire people, an ethnic minority of less than 10% ruling over a vast majority. And so you can't separate the Palestinian issue in Israel without mentioning the Palestinian issue in Jordan, and nobody wants to talk about that one.
Well, I imagine, because, again, I didn't invite you on to debate you. I wanted to get your side of the story, and I imagine that there might be some pushback for this, and maybe there's a debate to be had. But I do have some other questions and some follow-up stuff. Adam King is my guest. I also want to play Donald Trump's latest take on this conflict as well. And then some other developments like the red heifer and some other messages from rabbis that I think are rubbing people the wrong way. So we're going to have more of that coming up with Adam King. It's the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. He's wrong about this. He lied about that. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe we'll open up the floor for a debate. I didn't bring Adam on here to debate him. I might disagree with some things. Like, I do believe they're committing a genocide in the Gaza Strip. He disagrees. He laid out his case. So let's move on, though. Hey, look, if one of these individuals wants to debate him, I'm sure Adam is not going to shy away. And so that's fine. But again, as I opened the hour with, folks, you got to be able to have conversations and just put the hate down for a second. I mean, just put it down for a second and listen if you're going to grow. But let's move on here. Let's go to Donald Trump. He recently said this. I want to know if you disagree or agree with Donald Trump in clip 12.
Now we got to get to peace. You can't have this going on. And I will say Israel has to be very careful because you're losing a lot of the world. You're losing a lot of support. But you have to finish up. You have to get the job done. And you have to get on to peace. You have to get on to a normal life for Israel and for everybody else.
Do you agree with Donald Trump? Do you believe Israel is losing the world?
I think Israel already lost the world a long time ago, to be honest with you. I think Israel is losing a lot of America right now, without a doubt. Bibi Netanyahu just threatened to pull the ambassador. I think he actually pulled the ambassador from D.C. over Biden.
Yeah, they
Biden's
canceled a meeting with Biden earlier this week.
Yeah, so, you know, Israel's standing alone. But you know what? That's what sovereignty is about, Owen. And in the game of nations, if a nation can't stand alone, it shouldn't stand at all. So, you know, the purpose of a nation is the fact that it stands alone. So, yeah, Israel is losing support from the world. It lost a lot of support. There's a lot of backdoor channels that are open and a lot of public channels that have been seemingly dragged through the mud. The whole thing seems very planned to me. The whole conflict, everything seems very planned to me. Biden put so much pressure. Saudi Arabia was inching towards the Abraham Accords. They were just about to join before October 7th. I don't understand why Israel allowed this thing to happen. It was disgusting on behalf of the leadership. I believe that the people in power in the security infrastructure, that's a death sentence. They should be put to death. That's treason to allow this attack to have happened for so long. It should have been stopped. I grew up every...
Wait, hold on a second. Are you talking about, because I was going to ask you this, are you talking about October 7th? Do you believe Israeli intelligence stood down and let it happen?
I don't see how in the world it couldn't have not been that. Because I grew up watching Bibi Netanyahu address the United Nations saying, Israel's traversable in 9 minutes. You know, I heard that line 10,000 times. Israel is traversable in 9 minutes. We can't go back to the 1967 borders. So we were traversable in 9 minutes then, but you couldn't send a helicopter with soldiers to jump out and rope into combat. I actually met a civilian. I have a nonprofit organization called Magivim here in Los Angeles that just deals with Jewish issues and stuff like that. And we hosted a night for hostages. And one of the guest speakers was just a Jewish former IDF soldier who was on vacation in Israel, former Special Forces, 10 years retired with his family. And he was in 30 minutes away from where this happened. He engaged, he left his family and engaged the Hamas terrorists before the Israelis even got there. He's a vacationing Jew just trying to see the homeland. Like, and I met him and I spoke with him and I was shocked. And to me, it was like, okay, if armed civilians are responding faster than the Israeli military, something is up. They can monitor every inch of the fence of the Gaza Strip. And I don't buy any of the excuses that it was a cyber attack or anything like that. I lived in Israel for many years. It's a very small country and very, I could be in northern Israel and still have made it down to the settlements that were affected in time quicker than the army could have. I could have traversed the country north to south and got there before the army did. So of course there was some sort of false flag event, some sort of planned nature in this October 7th situation. And so a stand down
to reignite the conflict, give Netanyahu the upper hand to take over the Gaza Strip. You're calling treason upon the Israeli leadership.
And that doesn't indemnify the Hamas terrorists. They still went out there and killed and raped and slaughtered, you know, but yeah, there's something majorly fishy. And if you look in the sentiment in Israel, the Jews are united with each other and our common plight of being Jewish. But every day people send me messages. I don't know if the government's going to be here tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to make it. The people of Israel do not trust their government unilaterally. And it's a very weird situation because there's so much security risk at the same time that it's a conundrum. So this is kind of like the backdrop. And even the most unawakened Israelis understand that there was major internal issues on October 7th.
It sounds like to me, in a way, Netanyahu almost has the Israeli people held hostage for his own agenda. And I would say it's not even that uncommon. You know, like Colonel Douglas McGregor can't get a second of mainstream media airtime. He's against the foreign policy engagement with Russia. He's a bit anti-Netanyahu as well. There are former Israeli generals, IDF, that are outspoken against what Netanyahu is doing. They don't get airtime.
I made a video. It's on my band page. It's called Adolf Netanyahu. I've been going hard on Netanyahu for years now, ever since the rollout of the vaccines. And you got to look at him strategically, not just isolated incidences. He seizes control of Israel. He forcefully injects Israel in the most draconian laws. It was almost as draconian as Australia. They weren't even allowed to leave, and everyone lives in apartments. So they were all cooped up there. Somehow Israel had 6 booster shots before America even had their first booster. And Pfizer is a known Operation Paperclip company. Pfizer conducted all of its research in German until 1971. They were some of the largest recipients of the work of Joseph Mengele. So I started losing respect for Bibi Netanyahu then. Growing up, he was a hero of mine. I always said, oh, Bibi is going to protect us and all this stuff. It's BS. He was in on it from the beginning. It started with the poison shots and, you know, his involvement in the World Economic Forum. And I started turning around and saying, and that's a hard wake-up pill when you realize that you're – your heroes are really your enemies, and you got it wrong with Netanyahu. And he's got the country in the grip. Like he doesn't have full support from the military, but the military is confused and doesn't know how to respond. There's a large contingency of what I think are compromised officials in Israel.
Well, and briefly before the break, what do you make of the military? Because we see a lot of these videos and there's the young people that are engaged in these actions and bombing, you know, kids just walking in the middle of nowhere and killing people and celebrating it, stealing children's toys and uploading it to the internet.
Yeah, I hate seeing that kind of stuff. I think it's wrong. I encourage any Israeli soldiers that are watching this interview to stop doing that. It's disgusting. But I do support those boys and girls who are fighting. They're young kids, and they're fighting for their lives, and they believe that they're defending the country, and they're not so, you know, Israel doesn't even have freedom of speech. So a lot of these people, they don't have access to so much outside information.
All right, we're up against a break. We'll be right back. Final segment. All right, look, if you wanted combat, just tune in to Alex Jones and Rabbi Shmuley tomorrow. Because, I mean, my goodness. What a face like a used diaper. All right, I've got one last segment here with Adam King. I think it's been a good interview. And if people want to debate him, you can go ahead and reach out to him. He's not shy from a debate. Now, I do want to get into one thing. I'll play a little bit of this report here. And that is the red heifer phenomenon. They're about to be sacrificed, bringing in the Third Temple. I want to hear Adam's take on that. Quickly, let's just roll a bit of this report in clip 14.
Speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these. Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Caring for them on an Israeli settlement.
All right,
in West
so I don't
want to
play the whole thing here for the sake of time, but they've got three red heifers. They actually got them from Texas, crazy enough, from a farm in Texas. Okay, they're about to do this now after thousands of years. Adam, what is your take on this phenomenon?
Well, this is so exciting. And actually, I really appreciate you bringing this up because Byron Stinson, the Texas rancher who birthed these red heifers, is actually coming on my show on Thursday. So I'm going to be interviewing him, and I'm super excited about it. There was five originals, and one was ruled invalid, so there's four now. But this is one of the greatest things for humanity. And there's a lot of press on the right, a lot of fear of what this is and what, but the red heifer, the ceremony of the red heifer is used to purify from the impurity of death. It's a ritual in Judaism that elevates human consciousness by separating living consciousness from dead consciousness. If you touch a body or a dead body or a specific level of impurity, this ritual removes those impurities, and it's a very good thing. When this happens,
wait a second, like you mean if you're committing a genocide or something?
The side of the Satan will have a tremendous blow when this happens.
Well, okay, so but hold on. So what is the real expectation that's going to happen with this? Because, you know, I recently read the Old Testament when I was in prison, and what I found to be the case is that it's mostly just arbitrary stuff. You know, 4 cubits for this temple and 5 cubits at this angle and right. This stair here, and it's just like, okay, well, I mean, but what do you think the real significance? I mean, what do you think is really going to happen here? You say it's going to be great for humanity. Why?
Because there's this... Owen, this is a whole nother show, but essentially it involves...
Oh, it's going to be a show, I'm sure.
And by the way, I will accept any debate. I'm not afraid of any challenge. So just throwing that out to the viewer audience. DM me on X and we could set something up. But the red heifer, what it symbolizes, it's one of the most esoteric rituals. Now, the red heifer is burnt down to after it's killed, it's burnt down to ashes and mixed with liquid and then sprinkled on people as they come to the temple for the Yom Kippur service. That means that Jesus had this done to him. That means that all the apostles who were Jewish had this done to them. This is something that they didn't have a problem with. But in the right, you have people like Jew Peters who gets up and starts saying that this is a satanic ritual. Well, the God of Abraham, who Christians think is Jesus, said to do this. And so I think it's far from a satanic ritual if it's in the Old Testament. That being said, what it does is it purifies the world from the impediment of death. Death brings like this darkness and this sadness. And this is like kind of like where Judaism you really see it as an esoteric faith, and you can't divorce the mysticism from the common practice, which so many Jews today do. The Kabbalah is the mystic Judaism. This is a very Kabbalistic ritual that's going to take place. In order to ascend the Temple Mount, you cannot have the impurity of death upon you. And this is the ritual by which death is washed away. It's a purification ritual. And death is one of the foremost leading blockages to human consciousness. And so when this happens, it's going to release this grip that death has had on humanity for thousands of years. And I'm talking about esoteric things. In the physical realm, you will see the side of evil suffer tremendous blows. People are going to wake up from comas all of a sudden when this happens. It's going to be miraculous healings for people all over the world who are clenched in the fist of death and they're fighting for their life. They're going to be released. You will see when this happens, people will be brought back. This is the time of miracles that we're in, and it's indicative that the Messiah is near.
Have you ever debated Stu Peters?
I actually did debate Stu Peters, and he deleted the video, and it was moderated by Joel Bauman, the MMA fighter, and it was wild, man. I challenged him. I'm constantly challenging him. I'm on a kill stream with Ethan Ralph tomorrow, Adam Green, Matt Baker, Joel Bauman, Richard Spencer was going to be on there. He just had to bail, a whole bunch of others, and I've been trying to get Stu Peters to show up at that event. Anytime I can debate Stu Peters, I would like to debate Peters.
I'm working on. I'm trying to get on his show. We're having some scheduling problems. Maybe I'll bring that up. Maybe he'd like a round two. I think that'd be entertaining.
Yeah,
I don't think
he wants a round two because there was a reason why he deleted the first tapes.
We don't get any debate anymore because left and right just don't do it. So I mean, whatever. Let's have it any way we can. All right, one more thing.
Owen, I gotta say, to your credit, man, I don't have to agree with you on anything. On everything, I think you're the best in the game, and you know, really, a lot of the Adam King show started from the inspiration I gleaned off of your show, and you know, and this is something that, like, you know, at InfoWars is so purist. I can never picture you or Alex walking off of a set and rage quitting like Gavin McGinnis did to me or any of these other people. You guys take every single issue. You're never a coward. There's not a single coward at InfoWars. And people who are unwilling to debate or share their ideas, they're cowards.
I don't know. Maybe McGinnis just had to poop. All right? Let's give him the benefit of the
doubt. That was a very long poop that he took.
I like that, McGinnis. I want to get along with everybody. I think at the end of the day, we all just want to live free and prosper. Not to quote Star Trek, but I guess there it is. All right. You know what? Man, I can't decide what I want to finish on here. You've got these rabbis that talk about how they need to basically indoctrinate the youth into hate. I wanted to get Adam's take on that, or maybe to finish up on another thing. I hear this all the time, and I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, this frustration Americans have, which I think is why Nick Fuentes is so popular, specifically with younger people. Like Michael Savage does a show, he says, why does the youth hate Israel? Well, I don't think it's they necessarily hate Israel. They're just sick of having their future sold out, and they're told by the representatives, oh, the United States needs Israel. So I guess I'll leave it to you. Do you want to respond? Does the United States need Israel, or does Israel need the United States? Or what would you say about these rabbis that get on the podium and preach that you need to hate the Palestinians, or that you need to teach the youth how to engage in this hatred?
Anyone who peddles in hate is not working for God. That's all I got to say. God does not like division. God likes unity, and God is compassionate. And I don't like the peddling of hate or hatred. I think war is a brutal reality, and it's not fair, and it's not fun, and it just is. And like you said about people posting photographs of children's toys, that's so disgusting. It's cold, and people shouldn't have any sort of you know, when the Jews left Egypt in the Bible, it says that when the sea collided on and crushed the armies of Paro, that the Jews started dancing. And this was very offensive to God. And God didn't like the celebration. Even though the Jews were celebrating their freedom, still, so many people died And so in the Jewish culture, dancing in the blood of your enemies is forbidden. And so I don't support anything like that. As far as the other notion is concerned, what was the other question you asked me?
Does the United States need Israel, or does Israel need the United States? Because I hear
absolutely. You know, the United States doesn't need anyone. Israel doesn't need anyone. But the two are actually great friends and so beneficial to each other. And just like...
All right, we're out of time. We're out of time. So here's what we're going to do, folks. April 8th, we're going to witness a rare solar eclipse. And then I don't know if they have a date set for the sacrifice of the red heifer. But, I mean, you want to talk about a time to be alive. It's all happening.